Strategy 19, joint ventures. In a joint venture, you partner with another business or to get access to their clients. You are the beneficiary and the host is someone with lots of great potential clients in your market. Needless to say, this can bring in tons of new business. Here's an example of how it works. Find a host that targets the same people you do. Let's say it's ABC Dry Cleaners, a company with 2,000 clients, mostly women who are homeowners and professionals. These are the same people you're looking for if you are doing women's hair. If you offer to cut the owner's hair for free, plus you'll give a free gift to all of their clients, this is great for their business. It makes them look like a hero to their clients and helps them personally. Do you think he's going to say no? Absolutely not. The gift could be a free haircut at your place of business. He gives it to his client list and a sample of his letterhead, and you are in business. You just got a gold mine of high quality products for the small price of a few discounted services. When the client comes in for the free beauty audit and haircut, you can also offer the free beauty audit. You can upsell her into a color, highlights, products, nails, referrals, testimonials, etc. You'll make your money back in no time. Work on making her a regular client and it's all profit from here on out. Remember your concept of an LTV, lifetime value of a client. Strategy number 20, how to get new clients from open houses and holiday parties. If you think business should be all work and no play, here's why you're wrong. We're going to tell you why open houses and holiday parties are very good for your business as a stylist. Parties create a great positive impression of your business. It goes without saying that most people love to get together and socialize, whether they're single hoping to meet someone special or more married people getting out of the house and making new friends. Hosting a party makes them see you and your business as fun, as a positive place that cares about them as people. For current clients, knowing that you have one or several parties each year gives them another reason to keep coming back for your services. They see it as an extra perk of doing business with you, and they want to keep getting invited. Plus, when you give them something free like this, they feel like they have to do something in return. The law of reciprocity that we mentioned early. Having parties helps you keep the clients that you have. But the largest benefit to you is all the guests who show up. The key to successful parties is telling your clients to bring their family and friends. When these people see you and your clients having fun, they'll want to be part of it. You can turn many of them into new clients. Although you can't get them all, you can expect 10% or a little bit more. Your parties do not have to be fancy, elaborate, or expensive. Any reason to get together is a good enough reason, although holiday parties are one possibility. We like to hold our parties when there are no holidays to compete with, so many people are not partied out. So we hold them in February or March or early May or June. Although holiday parties are one possibility, you should look at other times of the year to hold them. Strategy 21, learn for yourself because you have the most at stake. This is so true. You need to learn how to do great, effective marketing on your own. You can't depend on anyone else. Investing in this course, in this program, was the best decision that you ever made for yourself and your business. There are a lot of people out there who will claim to be experts, who will generate tons of business for you, they claim, but most of them don't have a clue about how to get new clients cost effectively. And you'll spend a lot of money on some of them before you find out for sure. The disappointment. Marketing is something you have to learn for yourself. You can't trust website reps or any advertising reps. You can't even trust advertising agencies. Let me give you an example from my own salon business. In our humbling beginnings, our business was failing. We were flat broke. We got desperate and hired an advertising agency. I really couldn't afford it, but I thought this would be the ticket to success. The ad agency was great. Great at designing pretty ads and promoting an image, but not at getting me clients. After 3 months, I was losing so much money, I thought about getting out of business. Finally, I realized that the advertising agency was getting me nowhere. We had fallen victim for the theory that if you just run your ad again, this time people will respond. It dawned on me that if an ad doesn't work once, it won't work the second or the third time either. There is a grain of truth to the idea that the more times people see an ad, the more they'll respond. But if it's an ad, if an ad loses money the first time, it's not suddenly going to make a ton of money the second or third time. Finally, we started using emotional direct response marketing. So you have to do it yourself. You've made a great start with this manual and this recording, but keep on learning yourself. Don't trust any of those image building types advertising that you hear all the time. When you try something new, track your numbers carefully so you know whether it's working or not. Strategy number 22, learn to be a sales pro. Don't hate selling. We all sell every day of our lives, just not at work, but at home. You sell your spouse or your significant other on all sorts of things, going out to dinner, where you want to go out to dinner, whether they're giving, rubbing your back, who's going to make dinner, etc. You sell your spouse, your friends, and if you've ever worked for somebody, your employer, if you've had employees in the past, you've tried to convince them that your way is the best, so you do sell. Everyone sells every day of his or her life. Maybe you never thought of it that way, but it's true. Your significant other might be harder to sell than any of your clients, but you aren't afraid of doing it. You aren't shy about doing it. So why should you be shy with your clients? Some people confuse selling with pressuring. Of course, pressuring someone is uncomfortable. No one likes it, and they will resist you. But selling doesn't have to be uncomfortable and difficult. You sell by educating. Don't just ask, do you want to buy this product or service? The answer, if it's not, no thank you, will most likely be, how much is it? They don't realize yet what the product can do for them and what it's worth for them. Instead, start by describing all the features and benefits of the product or service. Tell them what it does and, most importantly, how it will help them, how it will make them feel. Show them why it's important. Then you get ready to close the sale. Again, don't give them a yes or no question. Instead, give them several different options and ask, which do you want? Do you see the difference? When you directly ask if a client wants to buy something, it seems like just an optional extra expense. But when you explain it and present options, the client realizes what you can do for them, why they need it, and how to choose an option that works best for them. Rather than pressuring, you are educating the client and helping them make a choice that will improve their life in some way. Try to think of possible objections ahead of time and handle them before they come up to make the client's choice even easier. I hope you understand the difference between selling and pressuring, because it means doubling your average ticket and therefore doubling your profits. Strategy number 23, tape record yourself. If you think you can't write emotional direct response copy, then begin by tape recording yourself. When most people start writing emotional direct response copy, they feel a little overwhelmed. This is natural. You have to unlearn years and years of learning. What I mean by this is, all through school, you were taught to write this terribly boring, grammatically correct method. Although it may have worked to please your teachers, it doesn't work here. What I found is most people do a pretty good job of selling their services face to face. You've closed many, many sales in your small business when you have the client in front of you. You know what to say to make people want your services and products. Instead of trying to painstakingly write a letter from scratch, tape record yourself in action. remember to get permission from the person that you are tape recording. Do this several times so you get used to it and forget it's even there. Then write exactly what you've recorded. Leave in all one-word sentences. That's fine for writing. Don't worry about grammar or all those other rules. They don't make one bit of difference when you're selling. That's what a sales letter is, salesmanship in print. Tape record yourself, then putting it on paper will make the whole process of writing much, much easier. Strategy number 24, be yourself. Some people think being professional means being formal or signing like a letter from an attorney's office. But people want to do business with other people. Talk to them like your normal self, not like a big stuffy corporation. This down-to-earth strategy greatly increases your business. It lets people get to know you, and when they know you, they can trust you. When they develop that trust, they'll be much more likely to stay loyal to you and refer others. Don't be afraid to let people in on your personal side. The connection they feel will carry over into your business relationship. Another side of being down-to-earth is being honest and straightforward. Don't exaggerate how great something is or try to sugarcoat anything. Sooner or later, your client will find out the truth. Never promise more than you can deliver. Carry this through in all of your marketing, being down to earth and honest, whether it's in a sales letter or face to face with a client. Forget formal, boring, professional sounding sales letters or face-to-face communication. When somebody reads or talks with you, they feel like they know who you are. That's what we want. This is all part of the down-to-earth approach. Strategy 25, don't be a bore. Being boring is the cardinal sin in marketing. Don't assume that longer copy is less interesting. The issue isn't length, it's whether the copy is engaging, compelling, and attention grabbing. Longer copy always outpulls shorter copy as long as it is not boring. So how to find out if your copy is boring or not? You could mail out a few letters and see what kind of response you get, probably 100 at the minimum. Actually, this is what a lot of people do. They make up some copy and just hope for the best. Unfortunately, this can get expensive, especially if it's boring. A better strategy is to test out your copy before you send it. When you write a new ad, a letter, or whatever, ask 10 people you know who are not your clients to read it. If they say, yeah, that was good, it's not good enough. If they say, yeah, it was good, it's not good enough. Back to the drawing board. When it's really good, they'll start asking more questions about how they can get what you're offering. When at least 5 show real interest, you know it's good enough to mail. If less, go back to the drawing board. If it's more, you've got a winner this time. Strategy number 26, always reschedule your next appointment. Don't count on your clients to schedule their next appointment with you. They'll forget or lose your phone number or decide to try some other salon or spa or stylist. You need to reschedule the next appointment with your client before they leave. Like anything else, this works if you can make it work. One stylist I know thinks it's ridiculous to have someone schedule in advance. Of course, his attitude comes through a customer that says no or a client that says no. On the other hand, I know many salons and spas and stylists that really believe in this practice and it works like a charm for them. This can easily double your business with this one technique. Here's how you do it. When the client is done, you ask the client if they are happy with the services you performed. If he or she is, then explain to her how important it is to come in regular to maintain whatever the service was for. Tell the client that although you fit him or her into your schedule this time, normally your clients make appointments X amount of weeks in advance. Offer to schedule his next appointment right now. Explain that you will send a reminder 2 weeks or whatever you do in your business before the appointment. If he or she needs to reschedule then, that's fine. Make sure you explain there's no obligation. Tell her or him that he or she can cancel the appointment at any time prior to it, up until whatever your policy is. This technique is so amazing and effective, we don't know why everyone doesn't use it. Some of the ways this increases your profits are: you'll get a lot more repeat business since you don't leave it up to the client to remember who you are and to call in to a schedule an appointment. You get many more clients coming back. Number two, you'll encourage procrastinators to come in more often. I'm sure you have clients who enjoy their services, but wait twice as long between appointments as your average client. If you could shave a few weeks off of the time between each appointment, you could end up seeing these clients 5 to 15 times more over a 5-year period. Think how much extra profit that adds up to. This technique is so easy, you should start today. You should start seeing the profits roll in within 1.5 to 3 months. Don't forget to send a reminder email or a text message letting your clients know they have an appointment. A sample reminder is in the manual, so make sure you go in and you read that if you need a reminder. So this is a very good strategy that you should be doing. Strategy number 27, confirm all your appointments. No need to really comment on this. Just confirming all your appointments is very important, because if somebody cancels at the last minute, it puts a big hole in your schedule. It can be a very big hole in your schedule. So make sure that you confirm all appointments via text, via email. Strategy 28. Follow-up calls. The follow-up call is one of the best ways to make your clients feel important and keep them happy. So take a few minutes to call your clients 1 to 3 days after they have visited your business and check up on their satisfaction. They'll appreciate the personal attention. This strategy is very effective. The number one reason businesses lose clients is because the client doesn't feel wanted. They think the business doesn't care about them. More clients leave for this reason than those who move or die, unfortunately. Many times it's because of a relatively small issue that could have been avoided if the business owner or the stylist took the initiative. With just a few minutes on the phone, you can keep many of these clients from leaving. I've seen so many clients who were unhappy over something very minor become happy because of a follow-up call. Unhappy clients usually aren't going to call you, but chances are they're going to tell someone. If you can intercept them before that happens and satisfy their complaint or their issue, you can prevent them from bad-mouthing you all over town and on the internet. Even if your client is perfectly happy, they'll appreciate seeing that you really care about their satisfaction. This will make them feel more likely to refer. This will make them more likely to refer others to you as well. Because it's more and more difficult to catch people at home, here is the sequence to take the follow-up calls. For the follow-up calls, call in the afternoon. If no answer, call in the evening. If still no answer, leave a message. There's a script that's included in your manual at the end of this section, so make sure you read that. Also, send a letter, a thank you letter, if you leave a message as well. This is optional, but go over the top with these new clients. And this is especially true, this strategy, for new clients. Calling them a couple days after their appointment is a really great way, and it's much cheaper to keep this existing client happy than it is to get a brand new client. So that's why client service is so important. So for other ways to keep your current clients happy, see the client appreciation strategy that we had already talked about. Strategy 29, add more services. Adding more services is definitely a way to increase your profits. Keep in mind, there are some downsides to each of them. If you're a stylist and add nail service, there's quite an investment in money and time. So you have to consider all of those things. They all have up and downs. Think about it before you expand into other services. Other services can be profitable because you can piggyback them with your current services that you add. Additional services doesn't have to be advertised to get new clients because they're already coming in to see you. Of course, you can advertise to them, but it could easily survive or grow based on the clients that you have from your core business. That means that this extra service gets clients without the expense of advertising. That's why this can be very profitable for you. Strategy number 30, beating the slow season. Every business says that they have a slow season. Maybe you do too, but you don't have to. For most businesses, it's between January and March, after the holidays and before tax season. People tend to want to sit on their money. In other areas, slow seasons are weather-induced. Where I live in Rochester, New York, a lot of people leave, at least the smart ones do, for at least some time during the winter and usually January and February. Maybe it seems like this is out of your control, but you have no choice but to struggle through until things pick up. Wrong. We found ways to overcome this slow season. On Member Central, there is a separate tab on Member Central called Beat the Slow Season. So make sure you go to Member Central, open up that tab, and read about the strategies that are involved in beating the slow season. Strategy 31, always test your market. Always, always test your marketing methods small. Then if they work, and only if they work, test a little bigger. Keep getting bigger and bigger if it works. No matter how great, innovative, or foolproof you think your idea is, don't trust your instincts until you have proof. Don't take a risk until you know for sure. Test small and let the response tell you how good it really is. I've known people who have lost their shirts by not following this rule, and I'd like to tell you about one of them. A guy that I know bought 500 names from a mailing list broker. He mailed the 500 names and got a tremendous response. It was unbelievable. Then he made a critical error. He decided to mail to the rest of the list, which was 125,000 names. He got overconfident. He didn't get bigger slowly. He went all in. The cost for the list was over 12 grand, 10 cents a name, and he spent $36,000 on postage. Guess what his results were in sales? Just over $2,000. Mailing brokers always give you the best part of the list first, the most responsive buyer. This guy lost over 46 grand. This is a common mistake. I know this is outrageous, you know, a stylist isn't going to do this, but I just want to show you an example of what can happen. Many, many people have made this common mistake. So always remember, test, test, and then test some more. Test small and get bigger slowly. Strategy 32, do your math. This is crucial to making you money. If you don't know your numbers, you have no idea what's working and what's not. I've said it before in this manual and on this recording, but it's worth repeating. You cannot manage what you cannot or do not measure. Once again, you cannot manage what you cannot or do not measure. Every stylist should memorize this saying. It's not enough just to have a good idea or a hunch about how you're doing. You need to measure every strategy and its results and compare each one. It sounds simple, but you must do more of what's working and less of what isn't. The problem is, you can't possibly do that if you don't even know what's working. You can't always trust your instincts. Time and time again, I've seen business owners who thought something was working and it turned out it was barely breaking even. Or they stopped doing something they thought was a total flop when it really was doing 5-to-1 against cost. In both cases, they lost tons of money. You need to know the following to calculate your numbers. One, the cost of an ad or mailing or marketing piece or advertising piece. Two, the number of leads that it generates from it. These are people who are interested in it, got your information, have called. How many of the leads turned into a client? How many of those people that were interested in that were leads turned into an actual client? Four, the average job of a client. How much does each new client spend in your business? And five, the average number of referrals that you get per client. Once you calculate these numbers, you compare it to your average numbers. That way you can see which methods are working better for you. This is the only way to get ahead. Know your numbers or it's not worth doing. Strategy 33, track your client lead sources. Track your new client resources. You should know where every client comes from. This is critical to the success of your marketing plan. Tracking client sources is essential to calculating your numbers, as we talked about in the last chapter. By tracking your sources, you see what's working and what's not. Clients don't always come from the source you think. You need to confirm this information with clients themselves. I recommend you have the receptionist, if you have a receptionist, check this when the client first calls in. However, if this doesn't happen, you can get the information when the client comes in from your appointment. In the manual following this strategy, there's a form to have your clients fill out before their appointment. You can tailor this form to your marketing methods. If you don't have time, let them do it while they're being served, and be sure you get the form back, obviously. Strategy 34, continuity is king. What is continuity and why is it so important that you have it in your business? Continuity is a term used whenever automatic recurring billing is used to pay for services. For example, your cell phone bill, your internet access, your cable bill, your electric bill are all considered continuity because you get billed on a continuous basis each and every month. Whenever you can, you want to build automatic continuity billing into your business. You may be thinking, I don't offer services where continuity applies. Don't be discouraged, because there's a way to build continuity into just about every category of business there is. For example, I know a plumber who has a bi-yearly automatic billing for his cleaning and repairing program he developed. I know a salon owner who has a tanning salon, they bill monthly for their tanning services. I know stylists who create programs for their clients to sign up that gives them preferred treatment and preferred appointment times. I know a computer repair business where they have a managed service agreement with clients where they pay a monthly fee depending upon how many computers they have. So this is available in every business. It's available in our business. This reason is so important because it is guaranteed money coming in each and every month, which really helps out with your cash flow. Another example is a loyalty program. Get people to pay cash for a loyalty program, and they get renewed every year or bi-yearly. That's another continuity program. So start to think how you can introduce an automatic continuity into your business. If you're having a challenge coming up with something, just email the office for help and we can help you with that, certainly.